So Ben, launch weekend.
Well, something like that, yeah.
Or as I like to call it, delaying the inevitable unsuccess of our podcast.
Oh, well, that's a nice way of looking at it, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, better to be pessimistic and pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, so for people listening, they will think that we've already, you know, launched and chosen a name and launched the website, chosen the RSS provider and all that stuff, but in real time, we've actually only just decided upon all this stuff, and yeah, so we finally have a name, A Cynic's Guide to Optimism. What do you think, Ed?
I think it's good. I preferred Dropcloth, but, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, so just for the record, I came up with the name. Ed was absolutely hopeless.
Yeah.
So, A Cynic's Guide to Optimism. Who's the cynic and who's the optimist, then?
Right, so I think, traditionally, you've always been the cynic, I've always been the optimist, but I think it's kind of, I'm joining the cynics now.
See, I just think it flip-flops between us.
Yeah. But now it's us trying to be more optimistic about the world, which is making us cynical.
So I think we're both perhaps the cynic and we're both trying to become more optimistic.
Yeah. I'm an optimist trapped in a cynic's body.
Yeah. But anyway, enough about that. I mean, the one thing is that people don't realise setting up a podcast isn't exactly straightforward. Oh, my days. It's...
Well, I thought you would just contact the podcast authority and be like, sup, here's a podcast. And they're like, brilliant, we'll distribute that for you.
Yeah, so again, then, Ed has had no part in setting this up whatsoever.
I've been very busy and I appreciate your hard work.
Yeah. No, it's not quite as simple as contacting the podcast authority. You've got to find a host, then you've got to make the website, and then you've got to edit all the episodes, make all the show notes, and then you got to get the social media ready, which still isn't ready, but it will get there eventually. And then eventually, I suppose, we're going to actually have to tell people that we've made a podcast, because as it stands, there's about 5 people who know we've made one, and no one else.
I think my girlfriend's the only person I know that has listened.
So you actually haven't shared any of it with anyone else?
No.
Not yet, at least.
But, I mean, she told me, she came back because she was listening to it on her commute to work and she was like, oh, it's really good. And I just thought, you are my girlfriend.
Yeah, you've got to say that, really, haven't you?
Yeah.
I've had a few friends listen to it and they've said nice things. But, again, they're friends. Maybe they don't want to excommunicate themselves from me, but...
Well, this is why I think it's good when we ask each other things which have happened in our lives, but only if it's relatable to the everyday person.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. So, yeah, we're going to, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to announce it to your friends or?
Yeah, but I'm off all social media apart from Twitter now. On Twitter, I only got 50 followers. So I think I'll just ask my brothers to share it.
Yeah. So we should perhaps go through our ways of contacting us and the podcast. So the podcast itself is at CGTOpod on Twitter. We have an email address, which is contact@cgto.show.
Great address.
Yeah, we both have... Well, the website for the podcast is also acynicsguidetooptimism.com, cgto.show, or cynicsguidetooptimism.com. I had some foresight and I managed to register the domain without the A at the start because I realised that everyone would forget that. So
yeah. And then my Twitter is @gangly_ed.
And my Twitter is @BenMLester, LESTER, which pains me to say that because all of my life I've been saying LESTER, LESTER, because everyone spells it wrong.
I think I have this thing where I pronounce my first name. So I have one of the easiest names in the world with 2 letters.
Yeah.
But I introduce myself and people always ask me to repeat it. So I say Ed.
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 And I'll go like, what was that? Ed.
Yeah. So if anyone ever does want to contact us about anything or anything stupid that we've said on the show...
Even if you just want to tell us that the show is awful.
Yeah, well, no. No, I don't want to read that stuff. God.
I'll take it. All right, all negative comments to me. All positive comments to Ben.
Okay.
He needs it.
Yeah, because I've got... the internet is miserable enough without that, so I don't need that.
And you've got a delicate disposition.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just a little snowflake. But yeah, it'd be cool to start hearing from some listeners and, you know, that kind of steering the direction of the show a little bit. But we'll see.
But yeah, I mean, I'd say if we had, 20 weekly listeners, that would be enough to carry on.
I'm hoping that this is going to be one of those quaint things where, you know, when we're on episode 100, we look back to you saying, oh, you know, remember when I said that we just need 20 listeners and I'll be happy. And now we've got 20,000 weekly listeners.
Or us looking back, even more cynical than before.
Yeah, and be like, oh, we're 100 episodes in, we still only have 3 listeners. What are we doing wrong?
Right, Ben, now I'm very excited this week because, you know, because after our recording last week, which we definitely did last week.
Well, yeah, okay, about that, it was about, 80 days ago now? But go on.
Right, yeah, the top 5 crisps.
Okay, let's keep this short and sweet because I edited that episode together and, my God, we talked for a long time about cereal, so...
Yeah, but that was my most enjoyable recording. You know, let the audience say what they like, you know? If you want 45 minutes of crisps...
Yeah, podcast democracy here, but okay. Let's go. So, number 5.
Wait, so how are we doing? You're doing your 5, then I'm doing my 5, or you're doing your 5-1?
See, I've only really got... I don't even know if I've got 5, you know? I'm not a big crisp man.
Really? I had to struggle to fit mine in. There were plenty of crisps that didn't make the cut.
Okay. So you've got, like, honourable mentions and everything?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, you see, I've got maybe 3 that come to mind.
I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know if I trust your crisp knowledge now. You're not a crisp sommelier, are you?
Perhaps not. I mean, Chloe's a massive crisp fan. Like, she'd take crisps over sweet stuff any day of the week, whereas I'd always take sweet stuff over crisps or savoury snacks.
I've become a crisp aficionado through meal deals.
Ah, yeah, the old £3 meal deal.
Yeah, we're in the age of variety, Ben.
Okay, so number 5 for you. Let's do this.
Right, now number 5, it is less of a personal favourite and more of a shout-out, right? Okay. Walker's Ready Salted.
Oh, interesting. That's on my top 5 list.
Your crowd pleaser, Ben. Your crowd pleaser.
It is a crowd pleaser. You can't go wrong buying a multi-pack of Ready Salted because people will eat them, even if begrudgingly.
That's the thing, yeah. Like, so if you say, do you want a snack? Like, oh, what have you got? And you list it. You know, you just pop out a bowl on the table, even if you haven't asked for them, and eventually you're going to have one of those Ready Salted crisps.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, Ready Salted crisps.
I haven't met anyone that doesn't like them.
I think that might be my number 5 as well. It's definitely in my top 5, I was going to say it.
Yeah, so. Was it there before, Ben?
Yeah, I'm going to say that it is then, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So number 5 is out the way.
All right, let's hear your number 4.
Number 4. So recently we've been buying these crisps from Aldi non-stop. They're called, they're made by an Indian brand, obviously, because it's in the middle aisle section of Aldi. You know that wild west of various goods where you can buy like a 20-litre jerry can next to, you know, sriracha sauce.
Oh yeah, are you talking about the special buys?
Yeah, special buys. That's an insider terminology, that though, Ed. I've got to mention it being in the middle of the shop. Yeah. So okay, so they've been selling these crisps recently, although they've just recently stopped as well. So we've been cut off at the supply, which is quite worrying. And they're lemon and chili crisps, and they're like, you know, like the corn crisps. I think they're corn.
Oh yeah, like Dorito style. Corn.
No, not so much Doritos style. They're airier than that. Think like a thick quaver.
but quaver's potato.
Oh, is it? Oh, geez. Yeah. See, I'm showing my knowledge here. This is embarrassing. I'm sorry for everyone.
Right, Ben, look. Right. The corn ones, you got Doritos, yeah. Knickknacks.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
Potato, I think, well, obviously crisps, quavers.
So... Core Fresh, lemon and chili, I don't know what they call them, but they're really good. If you can find them, they're quite rare. You don't find them everywhere.
What shape are they?
They're like a little, they've got ridges. I can describe them as having ridges.
Ridges, they're flavour savers, those boys, yeah.
Yeah, let's have a look. Hang on.
Are you going to have to buy them from Source?
I don't know what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to find some sort of wholesaler or I don't know.
But if they're number 4, I mean, they're obviously not that highly regarded.
Oh, they are good, though. And the kicker, which we'll talk about in a minute, but they're only 94 calories, I think, per pack.
Nice.
Which is rare. I'm seeing now, actually, that they might be sold. So they're not corn at all. I was completely wrong. They're potato. I'm seeing now that they might be sold in Sainsbury's and Tesco. This is some interesting knowledge.
That made your day.
And perhaps even Amazon.
See, it's almost like everything's on sale there.
So they're called Core Fresh Chili and Lemon Flavour Potato Grills.
I think you should share that on our Twitter.
Maybe. Just, with no context whatsoever, 3 weeks before the episode comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, maybe. But yeah, they're really good because they're low calorie and they're really tasty.
That is an unusual... I'll get just for the shape. You know, they're like... breaking into new territory in the crisp world.
How would you describe the shape?
Like one of those pasta coils.
Yeah, they do look a bit pasta-like, don't they? Anyway, we're getting boring now.
Well, you can just cut out the boring bits.
Yeah, I can. Great, more work to do. What were we up to for you?
Right, we're on four.
Four for you. Let's go.
Tyrrell's root vegetable crisps.
Oh, man. Man.
The middle class
dream. You picked
dream,
my number
then.
One.
That's your... You picked my number one. Really?
You keep doing this.
Well, that's going to upset you that there's three crisps that I think are better than Tyrrell's. First of all, it's like the Revels of the crisp world, right? If you're not looking in the packet, I like to go in blind, right? I'll just take one crisp and I'll be like, is it parsnip? Is it beetroot? Boom.
You just never know.
It's not.
You never know.
It's the other one. Whatever that is. It's good though.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of them as well. I thought you'd give me grief for this because last time we discussed the top five, you said that my number one was going to be something weird and non-cereal like just straight up wheat in a bowl or something
like
that.
Yeah, but I think you're more of a regular crisp appreciator. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is, you know, if you're a crisp purist, would you even class root vegetable crisps as crisps? Or are they a separate snack altogether?
Well, the thing is, right, they're the correct shape but a different material.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what I really like about them as well? I like the really, like, I don't know, the runt of the litter in the corner of the packet, which is just completely covered in salt and it's like ever so slightly overdone. And you just put it in your mouth and it just tastes like straight up salt. And
if it was alive, it would ask you to kill it.
Yeah, it almost just tastes like dirt. I love it. It's great.
And all right, at the end of a packet of crisps, right, you got the crushed ones at the bottom. Do you yeah. upturn it into your mouth?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Right, all the best people do. Yeah.
Is there anyone out there who seriously just like looks at all the crumbs, the good bits at the bottom of the packet and just goes, oh, no, I'm leaving them.
That's what you're saving till last. You're like, that's what you look forward to.
Yeah, that's what I'm working for.
But it's a bit like kind of licking your fingers, isn't it? It's like, it's not.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? They're not anyone else's fingers. I can lick my own fingers.
Well, someone finishes a pack of crisps. He's like, oh, do you mind if I...
do you mind if I just...
Oh, by all means.
Give them all pointers a lick.
Is that chili and lemon flavoured potato grills? Oh,
lovely.
You don't mind
yeah.
if I...
Yeah. You left me a bit under your fingernail there. Delicious.
All right. Now, number three for you, Ben.
Number three for me. You know, I'm probably going to go with, and I don't even buy these that often, but whenever they're out on the table, I find them incredibly Moorish. Sweet chili, Thai sweet chili crisps.
Sensations.
From Sensations, yes, the Walker Sensation ones. And I think you can only buy big bags of these.
Yeah, which in a way is why it hasn't made my top five.
Ah, right? So you differentiate on multi-pack / family pack.
Because, you know, you like once you've eaten a whole bag of that, you feel like a fatty.
Yeah. See, on that topic as well, you know you can buy like the Walker's Tear and Share?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a little cuboid of crisps.
Yeah.
So Chloe often buys them, but I think she calls them Tear and Don't Share because she she enjoys polishing them off herself, usually after a big long ride. I'll give her a due, don't worry.
But I think they do that. I think they know a lot of people don't share them. They put share on to like satisfy, you know, health requirements. It's like if you said that was for one person, it would be like against the law.
Obscene.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. So the sweet chili crisps from Walker Sensations. I would never actually buy them myself. I think it's one of those crisps which you just wait until they're presented to you and then you got the town on them.
Yeah, they're definite Moorish bad boys. Mm. Yeah.
So that's my number three?
I was thinking solid, Ben. My number three?
Yeah.
Wild card, knickknacks.
All right, number three, knickknacks.
Yeah. These are a bit the Marmite of the crisp family.
Oh, how old are you?
How are knickknacks age related?
They're just, I don't know. I think of knickknacks and I think of like ever so slightly crusty children's lunchboxes.
No, I think of someone who's in touch with their inner child, someone who is willing to have fun, a go getter.
Oh god.
What's wrong with knickknack? Right, look, let's say you were from a different country. You had no awareness that mainly children had knickknacks, right? You see a bag of nice corn snacks, knobbly corn snacks.
Mm.
Right? What do you think? Without the prejudice.
Yeah, I just they look so deformed as well.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's like society. We're not all perfectly shaped crisps, Ben.
They look like they fell off the production line, and they, you know, the executives had a great idea to package them up and sell them on to suckers like you.
Yeah, just like bits caught on the end of, like, pipes.
They're stuck under the conveyor belt or something like that.
Yeah, but you say that, but then there's, like, processed cheese is nice, and that's offcuts.
I'm not so sure.
Well, you know, we might fall out over this.
We might. So that's your number three.
Yeah. So why don't your number two?
My number two. So I've already done my number one, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I just inhaled some coffee.
Oh, that's nice. Number two. I see, this is it. I'm pretty useless with it when it comes to crisps. And you know, I'm going to probably go for, in fact, which it's contextual. The crisp itself, I'm not too bothered about. Not really bothered at all, in fact. But nachos, when you've got the whole shebang.
I'm talking
guacamole, sour cream, melted cheese, jalapenos, salsa.
Is that a crisp, though?
Yeah, well, you were fine when I said Core Fresh were made out of corn, which they're absolutely not.
No, what they're made from is fine, but like nachos is like a meal.
Oh, so you've got a problem with my context here. Yeah. We're still talking about that. They're a receptacle, which I think is fine for a crisp. In fact, most crisps should aspire to be receptacles for something better than itself.
Because you can make a great crisp sandwich, like a cheese sandwich with Walker's Ready Salted Crisps in, is great.
Yeah.
But I couldn't have that on my list, could I? I'll give it to you, Ben. I'll give it to you.
You're very kind, Ed. You're very kind, because this segment's struggling otherwise. Okay, so mine are nachos with the whole shebang. Because nachos by themselves are quite sad. I use them as a transport for better things.
They're just a vehicle.
They are just a vehicle to me. They mean nothing to me.
Wow. Brutal.
But they're still number two.
All right, number two for me. I think you'll like this one. Frazzles.
Frazzles. Yeah, I can respect it.
And Ben, they're cheaper than most crisps.
Yeah, that's why I can respect it. It's the budget consciousness of it I can really respect and get behind.
And when it's a bit like a nicotine patch for a smoker, if you're a vegetarian, Frazzles is like, it is pretty close to bacon.
Are they actually vegetarian friendly?
Yeah.
Wow. So you get that, how do they do
you
that?
You get that craving. I think it's just smoky flavouring. And you have
it. So it's not actually the bacon, it's the smoke.
You get your bacon fixed. You know, you think you're really close to breaking, you're going to get a chicken wing or something. Have a packet of Frazzles and just... It's not the same, but... Yeah.
Fair enough. Frazzles. I can get behind that. I mean, a lot of people also like chipsticks. I think they're... Frazzles and chipsticks are a match made in heaven. Although I wouldn't have them at the same time, but you know what I mean? They're kind of similar tier.
I think if you were organising an event for children, you'd buy those in bulk.
Yeah, I could see that. You know your little party bag you get at the end as well?
Yeah.
Although that's always sweet things, isn't it? It's never actually savoury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And number one, because we've done your number one.
We have done my number one.
Is Monster Munch Pickled Onion.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Now that is just purely selfishly, that's my favourite crisp. I know it's not popular.
Again, it's the crusty lunchbox of crisps. You know, I do realise it's the tradesman of crisps. It's a worker.
Yeah, and like you can imagine your mum goes to wash all the kids' stuff. And there'll just be one little Monster Munch hand left in the lunchbox.
Oh, yeah. Covered in a bit of yogurt or something like that. I think I've got a visceral reaction when I think of kids' lunchboxes. They're always absolutely filthy. Like, and they always make them so angular with like big corners and nooks and crannies for just grubbiness to get into.
Well, I didn't know that they weren't popular. And so I had a few people around where I lived last year in Liverpool. Having like a poker night, and I bought like a 20-pack of Monster Munch. I was like, they're going to love this. This is great. That no one had them apart from me. I think I must have had 6 packs.
Yeah. But if you think about it, if I said to you, oh, do you want some pickled onions? Most people would be like, how old are you? Are we at a 1960s pub here?
No, but it's different. Is it when it's a flavouring?
Yeah. I guess there are a lot of crisp flavours where they sound ridiculous, like prawn cocktail.
Yeah.
I mean, who actually, you know, craves the flavour of prawn cocktail, like walking around day to day going, you know, I could destroy right now that thing we have on Christmas morning before the main event.
Have you had a prawn cocktail?
I have had a prawn cocktail. It's all right. It tastes absolutely nothing like the crisps. I mean, prawn cocktail crisps are a flavour unto themselves. They're, you know, not really related. They're not in the same phylum.
It's true. Yeah. Well, I think we should wrap up the crisp segment, Ben, because
yeah, Jesus Christ,
cereals is way too long. That's 20 minutes there.
I think it's important, again, this doesn't have to be a long section. I realise you might not want it to be a long section. I understand your circumstances.
Is this my awkward escapade?
No. Although it could turn out awkward for you. So last time we spoke, or perhaps it was the time before, I can't actually remember right now. We mentioned that we were both on MyFitnessPal and we were both trying to get the weight down.
Oh, we're having the results in.
Well, it's not results because it's still ongoing, I think, for both of us. But I think it's important to update our viewers on how we're getting on. So,
right, well, first of all, you're a judgmental knob on MyFitnessPal.
So both Ed and I have made our food diaries open to one another. And we also have a little group on Facebook where I would say motivate one another, but you would perhaps disagree.
Just abuse. It's just fat-shaming abuse. Yeah.
So I'll often just print screen Ed's food diary and just be like, what's going on here, Ed?
No, but the worst thing is you don't mention what's wrong with it. You'll screenshot it, and I have to come up with what the problem is. You screenshotted my food yesterday, and I had a nice lunch. It was 1,167 calories.
You did have a big day yesterday, Ed.
I'm a big boy.
Anyway, Ed, so we spoke, and I think I've been on MyFitnessPal for about 80-something days now. So you'll be similar as well then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you down?
4 kilograms.
4 kilos since starting, so you started at?
A lady never tells. I was 104.
Okay, so you're under the...
I'm now 99.8.
Oh, 0.8. Yeah. 200 grams. I mean, what is that? That's a toilet trip.
Would you? Yeah, maybe if you're Andre the Giant.
Yeah, so I'm... So shall I reveal my result?
Yes.
So I am down 10 kilos.
Yeah, but what's amazing is that you've managed to do this by continuing to eat loads of chocolate bars, but just sticking to calorie goals.
This is true. So when we spoke last time, my advice was just eat exactly the same as you usually do, because then you won't get absolutely miserable just eating bits of lettuce and, you know, bits of carrot and whatnot. And it's worked for me. I mean, like you say, my food diary is largely the same food as what I ate before, but just in moderation. So yeah, I've lost 10 kilos eating fondant fancies and little Mars bars.
Well, you're just like a little... forager. You have your little chocolate bars about spread throughout the day.
Yeah. I mean, one thing about losing weight, which, for anyone thinking about losing weight, if you're not already massively overweight or at least visibly overweight and you lose some weight, don't expect people to realise or notice or comment on it. I've had next to nobody say, oh, well done, you seem to have lost quite a bit of weight recently. I mean, 10 kilos is quite a substantial amount.
Yeah.
But no one's noticed, so don't use that for motivation because...
What do they say? They say you notice yourself first, then your significant other, then everyone else.
I mean, I've had no comments whatsoever, other than my mother, who, you know, is just perpetually like, are you eating enough? Are you eating enough? But that's never going to change. Yeah. Mm. Also, like I said before, you want to... I wouldn't change how you eat too much because it'll just make you miserable if you change your food habits completely. You're already trying to do a new habit, which is eat less. So if you're also trying to change another habit, which is what you eat, it's just going to make things even more complicated. I also have a selection of foods to recommend people if they are trying to lose weight and they like sweet snacks.
Cardboard.
So I mentioned before the Cofresh crisps, if you can get your hands on them. There are other types of crisps which are quite similar.
This is turning into like Jamie's 5-minute meals.
Well, you know, people need help. The people need help and I'm going to give them the help they need. So there's them. I'm talking Aldi here. We all know this is an Aldi-sponsored podcast, although it's not actually sponsored by Aldi. Although I'd love that, though. If they're open to that, contact at cgto.show. So the Cofresh crisps. Aldi do some chocolate-filled crepes, which are about 140 calories, which are good. Good little sweet snack. Now, fondant fancies, everyone would look at those and go, oh, I can't eat those. They're fattening. You know, it's a proper stereotypical fat food. 100 calories, my friend. Ooh. They are the secret of the weight loss world, I believe.
Yeah.
So 100 calories for a little fondant fancy with your cup of tea. Spot on. What were the other ones? Hang on, I've made notes. Oh, another big, big news in the Aldi world. Two bits of news in the Aldi world. Yeah. Aldi have recently started doing the low-calorie ice cream.
Oh, yeah, which I thought would be awful, but it's great.
It's really good. So they do cookie dough and they do salted caramel. I haven't tried the salted caramel yet, but if you want to get the brand name stuff, that's Halo Top, and that costs like £5 a tub. Aldi do it for like £2 a tub on their own brand, and it's just as good.
When I have that, when I have the low-calorie ice cream, the whole time I'm eating it, I'm just feeling suspicious. Because I think there's, you know...
Yeah, it tastes just as good. It tastes just as good, but... You're not having the calories. I mean, a proper tub of ice cream, it can be like 1,000 calories and over.
Oh, yeah. Mad. Don't remind me. That's my weakness.
Also, another thing I've tried recently, I remember it was a good, I don't know, I want to say 6 months ago now, but there was a big hoopla in the news, back when I was reading the news, about Greg's launching a vegan sausage roll, and everyone was mortified saying how it was completely wrong. And they, you know, they were basically saying Greg's were heathens.
Have you had it, Ben?
I tried a Greg's vegan sausage roll. Honestly?
Yeah.
Better than an actual sausage roll.
Really? I think it's because of Greg's sausage roll, a lot of it's in the pastry.
Yeah. And I also think that they under-season their sausage in their actual sausage rolls.
Oh.
And they've upped the seasoning in their vegan sausage roll to compensate.
It's good.
And by doing so, they've created something magical.
I think it's a game changer.
I really do. But this is my second piece of Aldi big news. This is an exclusive for the CGTO podcast. As of last night... Chloe was in Aldi, and she realised they had a pallet that was sealed. Within that pallet, my friend, frozen vegan sausage rolls. This is a CGTO exclusive.
No. Oh, I saw a post about this online, yeah.
Well, don't say that. It's an exclusive for this podcast, Ed.
So she's got the inside scoop.
She asked them to open the pallet before they'd even found a place for it in the freezer. So we have downstairs a packet of 4 vegan sausage rolls from Aldi. I'm very excited to try them out.
Oh, hang on. I think you sent me a picture of it.
I did send you a picture. Yeah. We were very excited. So that's 280 calories, I think, a pop.
You heard it here first.
It's lower than the Greg's vegan sausage roll.
I'm going to have to get that.
So I think that's my lunch today sorted out.
That's awesome, man.
So back to the weight loss, Ed. I've given my tips out. You know, they're not for free. I can't just keep giving this golden advice out to everyone. Weight loss, how much more do you want to lose?
I think, right, because I'm technically overweight, so I think to get down I need to lose another 3 kilograms.
Well, not too much then.
Yeah.
You can do that. You can do that. I believe in you.
Oh, cheers, man.
See, this is what I do. I build you up, and then when you go against the plan, I break you back down again.
I think it's just a lot of breaking down.
It's a classic cat and mouse abuse game.
I would say with my fitness pal, it's less about counting what you eat, and just being aware of what you eat, because I had no idea how many calories some stuff was. It's like that Greg's donut is almost 500 calories. And if you just don't have that, then that's like, you know, 500 calories down a day.
Yeah, okay. And the two big things that I miss having, cheese and butter.
So just as a meal?
No, yeah, not just as churned up, like, you know, blended together, but...
Yeah, because I think fat has 9 calories per gram, so it's just, yeah, full of it.
Yeah. So I do miss those two, but when I get to 80 kilos, I keep telling Chloe that I'm just going to buy 5 cakes from Sainsbury's and just stuff my face with them, but we'll see how that goes anyway. Okay, so I've got 2 quick questions, and these might lead on to longer segments if you have an answer which is interesting, which I doubt you will.
Okay.
You mentioned that you were going to go do a spa day for your birthday. I realise your birthday was a while ago now, but did you actually do a spa day?
No, it was too expensive.
Yeah. Okay, moving on then. Also, you mentioned to me recently, Edward, that you're going to go do a meditation retreat.
Yeah, I am, Ben. It's going to be a hill walking and meditation retreat.
I can hear the defensiveness in your voice already.
It's hill walking and meditation in
right.
in the depths of Scotland.
Oh God!
Right. So the first couple of days, you go off you do some hill walking.
Yeah.
Kind of meditating in the hills, looking around, and then the middle few days is just silent. Silent meditation, and then you end with some more walking again.
So yeah. You're not allowed to talk at all?
No. I think the idea is that your thoughts are kind of in words. And the idea is that the less you speak, the more you kind of think in abstract concepts instead of language. Because obviously when you use words, the words put limitation on the meaning. And so, you know, you kind of... It limits your understanding of the Buddhist teachings, I think.
So I'm trying my best not to take the mick out of you here.
Yeah.
I hope you respect and appreciate that.
Right. I think you should go for it.
Have you watched the show Fleabag?
No.
Oh, you should really watch Fleabag, and I recommend that for everyone. It's only 2 seasons, short and sweet, British TV, but fantastically funny, really unique and fresh. But anyway,
I hear it's for middle-class white women. White women.
No, well, not so much. It's good. It's something new. Anyway, in season 2, I want to say, they take the mick out of the exact thing that you're going to go do, a silence meditation retreat.
Right.
they have a whole episode absolutely ripping it apart. But anyway, that's just an aside note. So when are you doing this summer?
Yeah, a couple of months' time.
Have you booked it in?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Got a nice little email.
Oh. So you're going to have to kind of... Are you allowed phones?
No, you're not allowed to bring any electronic devices. But you can give their landline to your relatives just in case they need to contact you.
But how do you talk to them on the phone if you can't talk?
You don't. You're not supposed to. But they're supposed to ring you if you know. It's like, oh, your gran's died. Oh, right then.
And you're just on the other end of the phone, just taking it in, not replying. Is that what you meant to do, or
just not talking back? I think the silent aspect of the meditation ends once there's a family emergency.
Oh, God.
You're just gesturing wildly to the coordinator of the centre, like, tell my mother I love her.
Look, okay, I'm open to this for you, and I'm excited for you as well to see how it pans out, but I've got to say, Ed, this is one of the most Ed things I've ever heard you do.
No, the thing is, though, right, if you haven't meditated before, it's because I've always been, like, a sceptic, and so...
Hmm.
It wasn't until I saw the science behind a lot of meditation that I thought, okay, maybe this is something which has some substance to it. And so, like, I appreciate it sounds mental just sitting around doing nothing for 1 week, not talking to anyone. But, you know, I think it will lead to some, like, little realizations.
Okay, so, yeah, what are you hoping to get out of this? At the end of the week, what do you hope to be? A better man, no?
Just nirvana, mate.
Just straight up, you know.
Yeah.
Like Buddha meditating on the spot, floating slightly off the floor.
Yeah, otherwise I'll ask my money back. Yeah.
Okay, Ed, you have to update us on this. I was going to say you're going to have to, you know, do a social media log of it, like a tweet blog. Oh, I'm so old, I'm sure my age here. But you can't because you haven't got your phone, so that's out the window as well.
Well, I'll use my memory.
just recount it then,
yeah.
Recount it. Okay, fair enough. We look forward to hearing about that.
There is something I wanted to mention this week, which is my awkward escapade of the week, because...
Let's do it.
Oh, God, no, it was really bad this week.
Yeah, it always is, though.
It happened yesterday. Well, I don't think it would happen to anyone else. And this is kind of on the same theme as the retreat, because I've always had some concerns about the prospect of death, as everyone does.
Yep.
So I saw it advertising, there's this Liverpool festival called Light Night, and part of it was at the cathedral. There was a little thing called Death Cafe. So, you know, just a little advertisement that, you know, everyone gets together to talk about death. And it's this thing, it was founded by this Buddhist guy like a few decades ago. And he only died last year. Yeah, just to encourage people to talk about death. And apparently people gain stuff from that. So I had these worries and I selfishly went to try and kind of find out about, get some comfort. So I sat down in this circle and it's going round. And obviously, all the people there were quite old, so they've experienced a lot of grief. And I realised they were all there for people other than themselves. So it goes round, and this poor lady had lost her daughter, and I was sat there like, oh God, because you had to go round, introduce yourself, and why you were there. And so there's me like, oh, I've been worrying about death, and this poor lady had lost someone, and so oh God, it was so awful. Yeah.
So you were just, you know, the sore thumb, the young guy there who's not actually really experienced any of this firsthand. Or...
Yeah, I'm just a guy that's just neurotic, worrying about himself.
I'm just having a little worry.
Oh, it's nothing. No, please, do share.
Well,
I just get worried sometimes.
I mean, I think it's fair enough, though. I think it's quite, you know, a positive thing that you're going out of your way to kind of address this, if it's something that affects you. Yeah.
But then the group started focusing on me, and I was like, please, you know, let's focus on the lady that needs some help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is quite awkward, but, you know, like I say, it's good that you're going to go out your way to try and help yourself.
Yeah. And then after the Death Cafe, we went to a Kaylee, which is...
Kaylee? Oh, was this thing you were telling me
about? Are
you
aware of Kaylee?
No.
It's like...
It's not spelt like you think it's spelt. That's all I know.
It's like, you have folk music, fiddles, and you do dances where you, like, swing round... You know, there's little routines. You must have seen it in films.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you do things that are just my idea of hell.
It's, you know what, it doesn't, like, yeah, it's more fun than it looks.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
You know what, I'm just imagining now, you know the scene in The Hobbit where it's Bilbo's birthday and all the little short hobbits are running around to, like, music and stuff, and there's tents, and then there's big Gandalf just walking among them?
You think it's that?
I think that's basically you. You're Gandalf in that situation, aren't you?
That's a really good analogy.
That's the mental image I've got anyway. But just back on the death thing, because I know you like talking about it, and I know it doesn't keep you up at night.
Yeah,
or
give
you major anxiety.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Do you ever get that thing where you just... I was just driving along the last few weeks, and I had a pain in my eye, and I just thought, you know what, this is probably it, isn't it? I've probably got 3 months left. I probably need to get my affairs in order and... You just get used to the fact.
What, you got a pain in your eye and you thought, well, this is the end of the road.
Yeah, you must have that, though. Whenever you get like a new pain, and as you get older, you get new pains all the time, and you just think, right, this is probably me.
Yeah, I do get that. You know, and like, because I rarely get colds or flu. So when I do, I'm like, oh, God, this is bowel cancer, isn't it?
This is Ebola or something like that.
And of course, like, All of these horrible conditions have similar... Some of the symptoms are similar to just a normal cold. So it's like brain cancer, you might have a runny nose. And it's like, well, I've got brain cancer, haven't I?
Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes really mundane symptoms are just massively... You know, they're symptoms of a massively horrendous disease. But yeah, I mean, especially when you've got a lot of free time to yourself. So recently, my commute has increased vastly. So I was, you know, I had this eye pain and I had another hour and a half driving ahead of me, and I was just planning it all out. I was like, right, so we'll have the funeral like this, and what's going to happen after I go?
Just writing your will while you were driving.
Because when you've got this free time, your mind just runs, doesn't it? So it's pretty morbid. Sorry about that, guys.
Were you happy? Were you happy with your run?
With what? With my run? Well, reflecting upon it.
Yeah,
I did all right, I guess.
It's all right. Well, that'd be in your eulogy. Yeah?
Did all right. I want that on my tombstone. It was all right.
Wasn't the Prime Minister, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, people have often joked with me saying, like, if they ask me, because I feel like I'm quite on the level, if they ask me about something and I reply, yeah, it's all right, that's pretty glowing, you know, recommendation. If I say something's all right, it's pretty glowing. If I say something was good, people are like, it's fantastic. Oh, we'd best see that. That's probably one of the best films he's ever seen.
That's good, though, because it means praise from you is like, you know.
Yeah,
valuable.
The bell curve of my recommendations is pretty tight around the average, let's say.
That's true. If I send you a little meme or a video, you'll usually be like 7 out of 10. But that's really good.
Yeah, or I often just reply, I enjoyed that. So, yeah. I did have something quite strange to discuss with you. It's something, so have you ever been on Twitch?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you normally watch on Twitch?
So I watched a bit of Apex Legends game streaming.
Are you still playing that?
Oh, yes. I'm a professional.
I heard that the whole community died a death.
It kind of has, because they're not releasing as much content as other Battle Royale games.
Yeah. Strange one, that. I mean, free-to-play, I don't know how they make money on it. I mean, I know they sell stuff, don't they, but...
Yeah, just get their weird tokens and stuff, like in-game currency. But what did you want to ask about Twitch?
So on Twitch, are you aware that Twitch has a dedicated section for gambling?
Oh, so you can watch people gamble?
It's the strangest thing ever. So you watch people just play online slots for hours on end.
And you kind of get their enjoyment of them winning.
I don't know. I don't know what people get from it. Hang on. Let me find an example for you, and we can watch some together. So this is a chap on Twitch, Casino Daddy. In fact, he's not even there at the moment. I think he's got his slot on autoplay, which just plays it for him, and it's just an empty chair.
Wait, so this is live, automatically playing for him?
I don't know if it's just a demo playing, or if he's got it on auto, you know. No, this has got to be a... Anyway, this is just the most bizarre thing ever for me. Can you understand it? Why do people watch this?
How many people are watching at the moment?
He's got 1,700 people watching, and he's had 10 million views of his stream. So for anyone obviously listening to the podcast, this is just a guy with, like, you know, online slots or online games of chance where you put money on the line. And he's just playing. And I can only imagine these people eventually lose money. I don't understand people gambling on games that are programmed by a person. I can almost understand more so people gambling on things like roulette in, you know, real life roulette with the ball and the wheel, because that's, you know, you're betting on physics then.
And you, there is pure chance then.
Yeah, whereas if you're betting on something like a game where people program it, there are humans programming it so the house always definitely does win, you can't possibly fool yourself into thinking that you're going to make money out of this long term.
But don't they have to? They have to publish chances of winning, don't they?
I suppose so, but even still, it doesn't matter. You're going to lose at the end of the day. If you play for long enough, you will lose, right?
But if you think, let's say you do £5 gambling every single week, you're losing £5 per week, but eventually you will win, and it's not like you're going to recoup the costs. But suddenly you have money available to you, so it's kind of like saving.
It just seems like craziness to me, though, that these guys have loads of followers, and I'm saying guys because I haven't seen any women doing it, but, you know, there probably is some women doing it as well. And all they do is sit there for hours and hours on end just pressing the same button over and over again and reacting to losing and winning. But I guess
it's kind of self-fulfilling because they'll get money through revenue on Twitch and they'll use that to fund the gambling.
Yeah. And I was watching one stream with one guy a while back, and he seemed to visibly be getting frustrated with the whole process and angry with the fact that he wasn't winning. But, like, that's kind of the game, isn't it? And he was dropping. He had, I think he had about 20 grand in his account at the start of the stream.
Ooh.
And he was down to, like, 12 by the time I stopped watching. I just had it on, you know, in the sidebar, so I was doing something else.
But did you enjoy watching him lose money?
No, it was totally a morbid curiosity of this guy lost 8 grand in about, I don't know, 40 minutes or something like that.
Oh, see, I think I would enjoy that.
Maybe that's why people do it then. Maybe that's why it's on Twitch. I also just think it's a bit of a strange thing to be on Twitch, because Twitch is, its primary demographic is younger folks who like watching games, right?
Yeah.
And if you're talking from a media perspective, I mean, I'm surprised no one's covered this as a story yet in national news. They love taking these big tech giants and writing, you know, horrendous stories about them. And this just seems like prime fodder for them, saying all these children who watch video games online, well, on the same website, they can watch people gamble and get into gambling.
That's true, yeah. But is it age? It's probably age-restricted, right?
I don't know. Perhaps it is. I mean, is Twitch all age-restricted again? I don't know, because this is the thing. You could have a PG stream where the person streaming doesn't swear or anything, but they might be playing something really graphic.
Just, yeah, playing an 18-year-old weird porn game, but they don't swear, so it's fine.
See, I don't personally care about the violence, the gore, the you know, the sexual nature of these things, because I you know, I remember when I was really young, I want to say 12, and I was at a sleepover and we watched Alien, we watched Predator, we watched Platoon, we watched all these films which are, you know, massively adult films, and I want to say it hasn't affected me, although I don't really know the other outcome if I hadn't watched these things. But I do think the popularization of gambling is quite worrisome, because especially when you look at these things on Twitch and the games that they're playing, it's almost difficult to pull them apart from mobile games like, you know, like Candy Crush and things like that. They look almost one for one alike sometimes, but...
Oh, yeah, so you're saying it's easy for children to go across if they're playing one and they see the other.
Yeah, and the stakes are higher, so, you know, that's how people get into gambling anyway. It's like, you know, they might like watching football, but to increase the excitement of watching football, they put some money on the line. But that's how it starts. And I think that's, I don't know, I just think it's quite...
But I think it's a case where most people are responsible, but there's like that vulnerable subset of people that...
Yeah, and I respect that as well, because there's nothing worse than, oh, well, this 0.5% of the population is going to be negatively affected by this activity, therefore this activity shouldn't be a thing. And that happens a lot with video games as well, where some politician... You know, they walk in on one of their nephews or nieces playing a game and they see something violent and they're like, right, that's it, all video games, I'm going to start, you know, rallying against that as part of my...
Yeah.
Because that's the only time they ever get any exposure to these things, and that's all they know of it when they walk in on one of the...
We've all asked our mum to buy us GTA and insisted we're allowed to play it. It says 18 on the front cover. It's like, are you sure this is okay? Yeah. All my friends have it.
But also this leads on to another topic, which is quite hot at the moment, which is the whole loot box thing in video games.
Yeah, did we talk about that?
We haven't spoke about it, I don't think, yet. I think it's quite nefarious, really.
Yeah, I think, well, how would you control it? Because it is like the business model of a lot of places.
Yeah, and I appreciate as well that developers have got to make money. I just question the way they're doing it. I mean, a lot of these, you know, so for people who don't know, in video games, you often get things called microtransactions, which is where you can buy small, usually cosmetic goods to apply to your, you know, your in-game character or whatnot. But often they have things called loot boxes, which is, again, you can either pay for them, right? Or you can get them by playing the game for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, by...
But it takes a very long time to get it.
Yeah. So the game's usually skewed in the way that it's much easier to spend £10 and get, you know, what, 10 loot boxes or whatever, than it is to get 10 loot boxes by playing, you know, 200 hours of the game or whatever. Okay, that's just an example. But the thing is, obviously, when you get these loot boxes, it's a black box. You don't know what you're actually going to get from it, right? Usually, at least.
But then some games have published information on the chances of getting certain kinds of items, which is kind of a step in the right direction. But then you have people like my housemate's cousin, who he was autistic, and apparently one of the issues of being autistic is that you kind of, you have to have everything of a collection, or you have to kind of complete a set. And so he spent a lot of money, you know, that wasn't his, on getting everything in a collection. But I think that's more of an issue of like parental controls, isn't it, than gambling or,
That's the thing as well. It's easy for us to say, as kind of tech literate people, that parents are just completely, they don't have the foresight for these things, and they should be checking what their children are doing online. But we're of the generation which could do that and implement that. Whereas a lot of the older parents just haven't got a clue when it comes to these things.
Especially if, you know, you want to buy your kid a new game, you do that on the console, but you forget that's now given the payment information to the account, and then the kid thinks, oh, I'll just get this just once, and then they're racking up a bill for their parents, yeah.
And these companies aren't really incentivized to do anything about it whatsoever, which is why we're seeing so much legislation come through now. I think it wasn't it Belgium or something like that implemented some sort of law which said that you can't do loot boxes, or loot boxes have to have fixed odds or something like that.
Yeah, I was guilty of it as well, Ben. I once rang up and got RuneScape membership over the phone. I hid under the stairs to call them.
That's a bit different though, because you're actually getting something from that, something tangible, and you know what you're paying for then. It was like when Team Fortress, I think Team Fortress was one of the first video games that started doing it. They opened some shop where you could buy cosmetic items for your characters in the game. But they had a price to everything. They did have loot boxes as well, where you had to buy keys to open them or whatnot.
So it wasn't always gambling. You could purchase the thing straight away.
Yeah, exactly. You could purchase exactly what you wanted. Whereas I think a lot of video games now have moved to the point of it's just total... For all intents, it is just gambling, because you don't know what you're going to get, and you're putting money into the system and hoping that you're going to get what you want. And isn't that kind of the definition of gambling?
Yes. Yeah.
And the stuff you get, I mean... This is the thing. Another thing about this is I once pre-ordered a game on Steam, and as part of that, I got a hat on Team Fortress 2. It was Sam and Max. Have you heard of that game?
No.
Okay, so as part of that, part of the pre-order for that game, I got a hat on TF2, which was, it was Max's hat. It was Max's head. Okay, so it was like a pair of bunny ears for your characters in Team Fortress 2. Now, what happened with that was that not many people pre-ordered Sam and Max. So that hat was in really, really short circulation. I'm getting onto a point, don't worry. So that hat was in really, really short circulation, which, you know, supply and demand put the price of it up massively. So I ended up selling that hat on the Steam marketplace for £40.
Really? I'm guessing the game was probably less than that.
No, the game was like £12, I think, or something like that. I can't remember. Wow. It was, you know, but it was just the fact that nobody had pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
Well, next to nobody. So the hat was in really low supply, and there weren't ever going to be any more of that hat. But I'd be interested to see the price of it now, because obviously the Team Fortress 2 player base has decreased massively. So, albeit the hat's still in low supply, but people aren't, you know, the demand's not high either. So I'd like to think that I sold it kind of at its peak, and I had the foresight to sell it when I was going to get the best price for it, because I didn't care about playing Team Fortress 2 anymore. I'd stopped playing.
Was that a lot of money to you at the time?
Well, I bought Grand Theft Auto 5 with it. So, you know, I mean, it's just, I think a lot of people who spend a lot of money on these loot crates, buying skins and, you know, weapon skins as well, in the very short term perspective, those things have got value, but nobody thinks ahead to, 5 years from now when nobody's playing that game anymore and all that money you dumped into it is completely, you haven't got any tangible goods to show for that. It's just basically a row in a database somewhere.
No, but I don't think anyone ever does it with that. No one invests in Bunny Hurts. I think you have the expectation that you're just going to use that in the game.
So you're saying that the people who do this and buy these things for absorbent price, I know Counter-Strike Go, I know some of the skins for that are massively expensive as well. And you're saying those people who buy those things, they're not doing it because they think, oh, this is going to have value indefinitely. They're doing it because they just want to, they just want the skin.
Yeah, I would say 90% is just skin. Well, it's like, again, like in RuneScape, there used to be like a really expensive party hat. But that was just because it was really rare and like people saw you wearing it and be like, oh, wow, that's cool. No one has that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember this hat, this Max's head thing. I'd often get people like when I was just playing because I'd wear it and people would be like, oh, how did you cheat and get that? And it's like, Jesus Christ, it's a hat in a video game. Relax.
Yeah, hacker.
Yeah, but I don't know. We live in interesting times, and a lot of these things, like I think developers have basically. Well, I don't even think it's the developers, because the developers don't get to make these decisions. It's obviously the executives. They could make money from just selling this content straight up, like the Team Fortress 2 store, right? If you want this, you buy it. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think they've realized that the money is amplified by the random odds and the random nature of it. People get addicted to the fact that there could be something good in this. And that's a much more profitable way of selling these new skins and things like that.
Yeah, because there's a chance you could get something worth more than what you paid for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's all a bit strange, and I think maybe we're ahead of the curve on this one, and in the next 6 months we'll see some stories about this online, about how on Twitch people are gambling and children have access to it.